Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Keep listening to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or a troublesome issue you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today marks the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech that Martin Luther King Jr. delivered on the steps of Washington, D.C., the Lincoln Memorial there. I understand there's some 250,000, 300,000 people gathered in Washington, D.C. this week to celebrate that occasion. Certainly, lots of changes have occurred in this country since that time. We've gone down a road where civil rights is now, in place, but there's many miles to go. Racism is still alive and well in America, and the reason it is because we as individuals have a heart problem, and there's not a single legislative body in this world that can drum up a law that is going to change a human heart. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant to this issue. There is only one way that prejudice can be squeezed out of a person's heart, and that's through new birth in Jesus Christ. He's promised us a new heart. And the reason he's promised us a new heart is because that old heart of ours was awful. I mean, here's just a few of the passages in the Bible that speak to the human heart. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time.
All the time.
I mean, not just some of the time, but all the time. Every inclination of the human heart was evil all the time. And then in Jeremiah, that prophet said this of the heart: the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And then Jesus really brought it to, I think, its ultimate reality when he said, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. So it's the heart that's the problem. And that's why in this new covenant, God has promised us a new heart. And that's what we get through faith in Jesus Christ. And as the writer of Hebrews says, he has written his laws of faith, hope, and love in our minds and on our hearts. And now we can see things from a completely different perspective, and we can live out the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ isn't prejudiced. Jesus Christ isn't a racist. Jesus Christ has offered life to whosoever will. Whether you're Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter the color of your skin, your ethnic background. Salvation is available to each and every person. That's why we do what we do. That's why we've been called into such a work to proclaim Jesus Christ. Why? So that people can be saved and can receive new hearts in him and learn to stand together as the human race that God originally designed us to be. The gospel message is the solution. Jesus Christ is the solution. In Christ, racism finds its end. Yes, period. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to do everything we possibly can to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ.
And that's what you hear on Basic Gospel Daily. We appreciate the fact that you've joined us for this edition. We'd love for you to be a part of the conversation. Toll free, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377 to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And again, thanks for joining us, everybody. An email question from Kelly, who writes to us from Tampa, says, in this week's conversation, you mentioned that the Spirit is our teacher. Why then, if the Spirit guides us in all truth and understanding, does he not lead us from the bondage of legalism? Generation after generation of teachers has reinforced the same errors about our forgiveness, the mixing of law and grace, and our understanding in the new covenant while burdening us with the law. How is it that the Spirit doesn't reveal these errors more prevalently? Is it due to our lack of faith or unbelief? As always, your insight is most appreciated. That's from Kelly in Tampa.
Excellent question, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it is. It is.
And I think the answer to that is, one, we're natural-born legalists. You know, the sin just brought that upon us. We think of God in terms of legalism. We know we've sinned. We know punishment is deserved. And so we're trying to figure out ways to avoid that punishment. And so we come up with all types of legalistic means to do so. None of them work. There's only one way that we can receive release from the punishment of sin, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. He shed his blood. He stood in our place. He took our punishment. And when we receive him, we receive that forgiveness of sins. But we have this thing called a mind. And this mind, when we come to Christ by faith, isn't born again. It is going to be renewed through a process. The Word of God begins to push away those old thoughts and to develop new thoughts in these minds of ours. And that takes time. And so when the pressures of life come upon us, when we're struggling, our first deal is to naturally go back to how we used to think. And that was legalistically. And so we get caught up again in the bondage of the law and trying to do things through our flesh and through our own energy. And it's the Spirit of God that moves us forward and says, you need to let go of that and embrace Jesus and to abide in him by faith and allow him to live his life through us. That's a lifelong process. It's not something that, you know, we will reach a point in time where all legalism goes out of us. That's just not going to happen. If that were the case, then somehow God would have to remove this flesh that still has sin living in it. But he's chosen not to do that. There's going to be a point in time when these bodies go in a grave and we're raised up with Christ and all of that will be behind us, but not until. So we have to continue to trust God's Spirit to teach us truth about this grace that has gripped our hearts, has embraced us, and has changed us. Yeah. And that is a process. That's why Peter says that we should continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's the process God's Spirit is working in us every single day. It's a process he's committed to, and he will see it through to the very end.
Thanks to Kelly for that very, very pointed question. I guess it was a pointed question, an in-depth question, and we appreciate hearing from Kelly and from all of those of you who write to pose your questions by email. And if you can't get to the phone during the course of the program when we're on the air live, why, we encourage you to send us an email. We'd love to address your question on a later edition of Basic Gospel. And, of course, you can find the email link at basicgospel.net. Right now, open lines 1-800-677-9377. We want you to come in and be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. Join the conversation, 1-800-677-9377.
Yeah, it's an interesting question that Kelly posed, and I think we see the very nature of legalism just by our own government. I mean, every time a problem arises, how do we try to fix it? How do we try to solve it?
Well, that's a law.
We create a new law, don't we? I mean, there's a tragic situation that happened up in New England with the shooting at the school, and all of a sudden there's all these proponents of new gun laws, as if that's going to solve the human heart, as if that's going to change the sin that's in this world today. I mean, we have to come to grips with the fact that our problem is very deep, and it's deep within each and every one of us. That's why we need Jesus. That's why this grace is so vitally important. I mean, we're the freest country on this planet, and I think our books, as far as the laws are concerned, you know, far exceed every other government's books of laws, you know, on the planet. Why is that? Because it's just natural for us to think that law is going to solve our problem. It isn't. It's not going to do it. That's why we need Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Interesting question from Ron, who wrote to us just this morning from Moline, Illinois. Says, I have a brother in Christ that's really into guns and gardens, believing we need to protect ourselves against government uprising and civil unrest. A popular verse used is Luke 22:36, let him go and buy a sword. I used to have good fellowship with him, but to me it's gone too far. What do you think about this? That's from Ron in Moline, Illinois.
Well, we live in the United States of America. We have a constitution. There's a Second Amendment that gives us the right to bear arms. And the reason for that very amendment was to protect ourselves from government intervention. That was the motivation for that, the intent of that. And so I don't think it's wrong to say, hey, we need to protect ourselves from that type of tyranny, because tyranny is real. It was real back in that day. That's what we were trying to free ourselves from, the tyranny of British rule and control. And there's still that chance today that tyranny can come and take root in this country and control us. And government would be the way that would enter in. So we've been given that right to bear arms to protect ourselves. You know, I think probably the way weapons have become so sophisticated and the power that's involved in those now, I don't know if a little pistol is going to help us in that. But the fact of the matter is we need to protect those freedoms that we have. That's why this country was founded, so that we could live as free people.
Yeah.
Within that, everybody has their own interpretation, their own take on their own personal decisions they make and how they're going to do that. If that's somebody's personal decision, just honor that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to try to change that. You don't have to try to say that they're weird or strange, right, or just gone off the deep end.
Yeah, let everyone be convinced in
that's
his own
mind. Right.
Heart.
Let
yeah.
everybody be convinced in their own mind. I think that's a Bible verse, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah, it has to do with refusing to live in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to avoid that fear is, like you've been talking about, the same thing as with legalism. We're naturally legalistic. We are naturally fearful of people who have power. We want power. That's why we're fearful of those who have power. Until you come to Jesus Christ and can answer the question for yourself, I know my future, mm-hmm. and therefore I can live today with that assurance, then you're going to be afraid of everything. And whether it's guns or hoarding or whatever it is going to have a negative impact on your life and on the lives of your friends and family. And that's too bad. I mean, we've been given this wonderful freedom, and like most freedoms, it turns into a battleground, and it just doesn't need to be that way if we would allow the grace of Jesus Christ to inform us and inform those decisions.
It's only there that we're able to think through the issues of life soberly.
Yes.
To see them objectively and recognize that we do have a God that's in control, mm-hmm. that we can trust him, and maybe things don't work out the way that we want them to, but God has promised to cause all things to work together for good. That's where we need to trust. And that's the key vital characteristic that the Bible puts forth as marking us out as believers in Christ, the fact that we trust the resurrected Christ,
mm-hmm.
that we are depending upon him. We're not relying on our own understanding. And sometimes in these particular issues, that's what we do. We turn to our own understanding. That's the bad place to be. We need to gain God's perspective. We need to lean into him. We need to lean upon him. We need to abide in him. We need to allow his spirit to teach these minds of ours, to give us a framework of grace in which to view the world and to make the decisions that we need to make.
Yeah. Well, friends, is this a conversation you'd like to enter into? Well, we'd like for you to enter into it. 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock. Open lines. Let us hear from you. Well, once beyond the bad teaching and once beyond the survivalism and so forth, let's get on to the next step.
This is a question from Phil, who lives in Tempe. It says he's hung up on the Bema seat. So a little bit of a step there. Will all believers and non-believers stand in front of God? And will God give a reward to the things for the things we accomplish, like getting people saved? It says in the Bible, I did this in your name and did signs and wonders. And then God says, I never knew you. So will people say in heaven, I did more than you and get more rewards than others? Please help me understand this.
Good question. That's that last passage that he talked about is actually in Matthew 7, and the context there is false teachers. So false teachers have rejected the good news of Jesus Christ. They've rejected the gospel. They've rejected that eternal life that has been offered to them in Christ, and so they're promoting something else. So when they die, they're going to go and stand before God's judgment seat. We know that as the white throne judgment. And they're going to say, look at all the wonderful things that we did in your name. Look what I did. And so they're relying upon their record as a means to get into heaven, to enter into God's presence. And God is going to listen to that, listen to those arguments, and then he's going to present the proof. You know, here I presented the gospel to you. You had the opportunity to receive life. You had the opportunity to receive the forgiveness that I provided in Christ. You had the opportunity to be declared righteous through faith in my Son. You had opportunity all throughout, and every one of those you rejected. And you didn't reject passively. You rejected aggressively, adamantly. You were opposed, vehemently opposed to a life of faith in my Son. That was my plan to save you. You rejected. And so you are going to spend eternity separated from me in this fiery lake. So they were false apostles, false prophets, trying to promote some type of message that wasn't gospel at all. And their argument for salvation was based on their works, not upon the works of Jesus Christ. Those of us who stand on the record of Christ, who are counting on his achievements through his death, burial, and resurrection, we're not going to go to the white throne judgment. We're going to go to the Bema seat. And it's a completely different judgment. It's a positive judgment. It is an appraisal of works done through faith in Jesus Christ. There's a lot that we do that is flesh-driven, that is flesh-oriented. That means nothing as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. That's just going to be burn off and float away. But what will remain is what Christ has done for us, and there will be some reward given. But as we see in the book of Revelation, all of the elders bowing down before Christ, laying their crowns before him. We will join them in laying our crowns before him, because it's all Christ and none of us. It's his work to save us, his work to live his life in and through us. So that's going to be a glorious day, a moment of clarity for us so that we can see things, our lives as they really were. We can see just how little that we added to it and how much Christ was really all of it. We're going to see that for what it is. And it is going to be, I think, one of the greatest moments that each of us will ever, ever experience as children of God when we stand before him on that Bema seat.
And in contrast, at the great white throne, not so much.
Not so much at all.
Yeah. Friends, you know, Bart Millard and Andrew Farley have written a book called The Hurt and the Healer, and it addresses so many of the things that we confront in life every day, and if not now, well, pretty soon probably. The Hurt and the Healer can be yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, and we'd love for you to support the ministry in that particular way. We are a listener-supported ministry, and we need your ongoing support to be able to continue to proclaim the good news of Basic Gospel here every day. So we hope you'll take advantage of this. The Hurt and the Healer, yours for a gift of any amount right now to Basic Gospel. You can make that contribution and request your copy by going online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with Billy, our operator, at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-727-2828, The Hurt and the Healer, yours right now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Well, guys, a question from Dale, and this is about money, as a matter of fact. Says, my question is on tithing upwards of 10%, 11%, and how that relates to the New Covenant Christian. How does tithing and upwards of 10% relate to a Christian?
Well, it relates in the sense that you have the freedom to give that much if you so choose to do that. In this new covenant, we are called to excel in the grace of giving. God so loved the world that he gave. This God has come to live inside of us in the person of Christ Jesus, in the person of his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is going to be changing us from the inside out. He's going to take this selfishness that once was so much a part of us and turn it into generosity. And in that generosity, we will want to use the resources that God has allowed us to steward to further his kingdom, to help people in need. That's just part of this process of growing in grace. And as I said, Paul calls us to excel in that grace of giving. So we, again, always think of things legalistically. Mm-hmm. You know, how much? You know, is God going to be okay with 5%? Is he going to be okay with 10%? Or does he want me to give 15%? Is that what's really going to please him? And so we set these standards and we try to live up to it, thinking that we're going to get something in return. I remember a lady who called the program and her husband had passed away, and she was so disappointed because they had counted on God to heal him. And she made a statement and said, we've even tithed all these years, and this is what we get. And again, we're thinking about things from a legalistic viewpoint instead of from a grace viewpoint. And the grace of giving is all about allowing the grace of God to move in our hearts in such a way that we want to give. We want to give generously. We want to give joyfully, cheerfully. I think the word there is hilariously.
Yes.
We want to get the biggest smile on our faces when we write that check to support, you know, the church we go to support a ministry like ours, to help somebody who, you know, can't buy groceries this week. Mm-hmm. Gosh, man, I get to help this person and go and meet a need. Thank you, Lord, for using me in that way. And with that, it becomes a blessing, and you don't have to be caught up in the amount. You know, when you look back on it, you say, wow, I gave a lot more than I ever dreamed I could, because you weren't worried about the amount. So we need to allow the grace of God to move in our hearts as far as giving is concerned. That's why we talk about the new covenant so much. We're not in the old covenant anymore. We as Gentiles never were, but we lived legalistically. Now we're in a new covenant. It's called the covenant of grace. And in that grace is freedom. Freedom as far as giving is concerned. We need to experience that.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, guys, for holding forth. And thanks to those of you who emailed your questions to us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Please keep in mind that this ministry remains on the air only because of your prayers and gifts. And to express our thanks for your generous gift in any amount, we're going to send you that book, The Hurt and the Healer, by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. We all hurt. We all need healing. If not today, then at some future point. But where do we find it? Well, Bart and Andrew wrote The Hurt and the Healer to show the way, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, just go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828. 28 during Central Time office hours. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-727-2828. The Hurt and the Healer, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. While you're there at basicgospel.net, click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. You'll get late news and information about the ministry and upcoming events. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And when you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospel.net. RDO. That's at Basic Gospel RDO to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook as well. Also, thank you for those of you who emailed us. And if you have a question, can't get to the phone during the course of the live broadcast, why, we encourage you to go online to our website, basicgospel.net, click the email link, send us a question by email. We'll be glad to address it on Basic Gospel. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.